It is right now 22 minutes to 10.
You're listening to ABC Far North.
All right, let's look to the future, though, shall we? Remember the old Beyond 2000 program? Well, we're looking at the economy. What will it look like in 15 or 20 years now? And have you heard of the sharing economy or the trust economy? That might be the way things operate in the future. To tell us more, our favourite, well, my favourite futurist, Morris Mizalowski. Hello, sir.
Hello, Phil.
Now, this is interesting because it's tied to money, so everyone's sort of eyebrows pick up. But let's start at the start. What is it? What is the sharing or the trust economy?
Well, the easiest way, the best example perhaps that we're all familiar with now is the Airbnbs and the Ubers of the world. It's where a company gets in the middle between you and somebody that wants to use something that you have. So you might have a spare bedroom, you might have a car you're willing to use to drive people backwards and forwards, you might have a dog that you're willing to let somebody else walk for you. There are all sorts of things that you might want or have or need, and somebody that is willing to provide it to you if only they could find it. And this middle ground is the growing one.
Isn't it? It is, isn't it? And I suppose it's... would you call this being entrepreneurial if you're thinking of this middleman service?
Well, you absolutely are. I mean, it's grown so tremendously. And if I would have said to my parents 10 or 15 years ago, I want to let a complete stranger in my house, somebody else has said it's okay and they're going to give me some money for it, keep some money, they would have looked at me askance and said, what the hell are you talking about?
And or smoking,
today,
yeah.
Yeah, well, yes. But the reality is today many of us are quite comfortable with it. And what prompted our conversation today is a report that came out last week from P2P Lender, which is peer-to-peer lender, called RateSetter, that claims that two-thirds, 68% is the figure they've come up with, of Australians now spend or earn money in this space.
Wow.
Which equates to 10.8 million Australians.
It's a business worth getting your head around. Now, unfortunately, some of these things like Uber have been referred to by those who aren't fans of it as fads. So will these things like Airbnbs and fads and Uber, will they stick around? Are they here to stay?
Look, the brands may or may not. They come and they go. And I'm sure that at some stage it will be taken over by somebody else. I mean, Uber itself has its greatest competitor. It's called Lyft, L-Y-F-T. And we don't have it yet in Australia, but in America, it is doing real damage to Uber. It's taking over, and it's getting all sorts of funding from people who believe it will be its next successor. So not too worried about the brand, but the notion of it is here to stay. And it really started in Australia about 10 years ago from a perfect storm. Now, the first bit was that GFC that we've stopped talking about, when things got really tight economically and we couldn't, or many of us couldn't buy, we couldn't have access to things that we might otherwise do. Money got really tight and difficult. Around the same time, many of us became extremely comfortable online. We started to get mobile phones, smartphones, and we used it to find things for us. And the third thing was the generational change, that we have the X's, the Y's, the Z's, in other words, those over 20 who now are spending their own money, thankfully, not their parents. And those three things came together about 10 years ago to change the notion of what it is to own and to have. You know, as a baby boomer, I was always told by society the way that I showed a life worth living was a clear mortgage, was by showing a couple of cars, a boat, a holiday house, I mean, whatever it was, but it was asset-driven. Today's kids, we're telling them very different stories, and I think it's because of what we just said, the economy and things like that. We're telling them, look, it would be great if you can own it, and certainly it's worth aspiring to it. But what they're saying instead, these younger generations, is, look, I'm more about experience than ownership. I want to be able to use the car for an hour or two. I want to be able to take the trip and stay in an unusual home that I'm never going to own, but I might want to stay in it for a couple of days. And they're using social media, they're using online posting to show people experience of a life well lived. So it's a very different way of approaching the world.
It is a change of thought process, isn't it? Now, with every new thing that appears to be a money maker, big corporations get involved. So my question to you overall for these types of, this economy is, who's making the money in it right now? Is it the big companies that we don't see, or are people like you and me, mums and dads, profiting?
It's certainly the big companies as one part of it, because they're providing what are called the digital platforms, the marketplaces that allow it to happen. So the eBay is in this space, again, our Ubers, our Airbnbs, all the others are in there. And they make money from what they call incremental income, which is not a lot of money per transaction, but a little bit per transaction. But we're talking millions, billions of transactions that just add up to a fortune. But again, from this same survey that I spoke about a moment ago, they're saying that the largest earners, so these are the people who are actually putting money in their pockets, the you and I's of this world, is the single independent adult, and they're averaging about $158 a month earning. So they might be driving the car or perhaps creating some craft they're selling on an Etsy or doing something like that. And the second largest one, which is the one that surprises me, but it kind of makes sense having said that, is families with young children who are making about $125 per month.
Wow.
And they're the ones who are looking for a bit extra income, which makes sense. You know, a couple of kids always cost a bit more than it did when there were just two of you.
My guest is futurist Morris Mizalowski, and we're speaking about the trust economy that is already amongst us. We're already a part of it. Morris Mizalowski, now, let's say we're listening along, we're hating our job and have had a rotten Monday morning. We're thinking, yeah, I'm going to go and think of something that I can sell and become the middleman. You got any ideas? What are some of the things that we might not have thought about yet, these money-making opportunities that you expect to evolve?
Yes, so firstly, don't quit your job. Walk away. You know.
All right.
Hold on to it.
Breathe. Apologise to the boss and go on.
But let's see some ways that we can supplement our income. And then if it all goes well, you know, as my parents said, if it all goes well, then we can talk about moving over. But you're right, there are some really interesting spaces and some things that really all of us could do. I mean, there's one, Phil, that you could do. I mean, I'm not available to it. But you know that private jet you've got out there, out the back there, that you don't use all the time? There's a company called Airly, A-I-R-L-Y, that allows you to either use your corporate jet with a couple of extra seats to take some people on, or if you want to travel, to find some in there. So, you know, that's one that you'll make use of. Again,
of course.
Again, we've spoken about things like the Ubers, but there are sites called Share Your Ride, which allows you to carpool and earn some extra money. And there are lots of people who do that. You know, you're going to work anyway. There's a back seat there with a couple of empty seats, obviously. You can go into this, put your usual route or route, depending on which word you take, and then see if anybody else wants to go with you, and they'll put some petrol money in. And you, again, this middle person will do all of the work of taking the money and then giving you your share of it. So that's another one around.
Okay.
Delivering stuff is becoming really popular now. What we're becoming as a society, strangely enough, is a society that can't wait for our goods to come. We want them immediately.
That's right.
And the supermarkets are trialing things now. I mean, you've got Coles trialing things with Fedora and others to deliver food within half an hour, of you ordering it. So there are things like Deliveroo and Fedora, which are quite popular in many regions. You've got your Uber Eats, you've got your menu logs, you've got your... An interesting one around that is called Rappel, W-R-A-P-P-L-I. Yeah, it talks about the notion that you have a motor vehicle, perhaps, and you drive around, but what you're willing to do is to have somebody else put what's called a wraparound on that car. And that's a big advertising piece. Now, it doesn't ruin the car. It literally can be peeled off.
Yep.
But you're allowing people to use your car to advertise whatever it is they do. And people are earning about $600 a month just for that.
Wow.
To be able to do that.
A mobile advertising board. I guess it's up to the imagination to see what we can think of. But this is, I think, something that will please people like yourself. You're admittedly a baby boomer. This sounds like it now, again, as it used to, rely on word of mouth and reputation, which was always a good thing, I thought. These sorts of businesses are that again, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's a perfect thing, Phil. I mean, really what we're doing is going back to what I think is an old-fashioned society, where we knew we couldn't do it all. You know, that was just never part of it. We did what we did really well. But then we went down to the local village and we bartered and we shared and we rang up our aunts and our uncle and our cousins and said, help us out today, we'll help you out next week. This is the same, but reputation was relatively easy in those days because they were human-to-human contact. We kind of could figure out from a couple of people whether a Morris was in fact worthy and trustworthy. But today it's more difficult. We're starting to use it by rating, you know, that 1 to 4 or 4 stars, 5 stars, which I hate, that kind of rating.
Yeah.
And we're using that now to understand. The reason I hate it is because I think it's so obvious and easy to game, meaning that it's really only the people that love it or hate it who ever post anything. So, yes, we're getting good at that, but reputation is becoming one of the most important things that we can have digitally, because we have to be able to prove it to people who will never physically meet us. And the whole notion of that is really what I think will drive this, but also drive our future jobs, the ability to get work. And that's really by putting up clear evidence of who we are and what we are online, and getting enough people to back that up.
Well, I think it pleases people too that we're also going to still have to value good old-fashioned service, being polite, remembering your manners. Bring it back, I say. All right, we better wrap it up. It's not about my thoughts on this. Morris Mizalowski, what's the future for it then? Is this something that's going to consistently be there for us now?
It absolutely will. It makes perfect sense now. You know, we don't all need to own an asset. We only use, you know, 40, 50, 60%, sometimes not even, of its life. We know now that we can get access to it really easily, and it's access over ownership. So, yes, let's not worry about the brands, but let's think about the things that we might want to do. You know, you can get, for instance, elderly care on it. You can get people to walk your dog. There are all sorts of things that we want, and we're willing to pay a small amount of money for. So, yes, I think it will stay with us forever now.
Okay, well, I'll get online and make my private jet available, Morris.
Look forward to it. Maybe we can pop off somewhere.
Sure. Let's talk again next week, shall we? Thanks, Morris.
Catch you then.
Futurist Morris